RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
My name is Val Whitney. Welcome to In Defense of Humanity on this 17th day of February, 2018. This program is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species while accepting and understanding that the current corporate commercial legal structure, both government and business is built upon, is actively seeking to take control of most organic life forms on our planet. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as living men and women. Much of the information discussed on this show can be found on my website, anticorruptionsociety.com. If you need to remind yourself why humanity is worth defending, please read and enjoy the In Defense of Humanity page listed at the top of my website. I'd like to make new listeners aware that there is a free People's Empowerment Guide to our corporate commercial legal system on my website, and it's called Lawfully Yours. It is a collaboration of many men and women in the legal accountability movement. You can locate it by clicking on the Lawfully Yours tab at the top of the page. Our guide has been viewed more than 60,000 times since it was posted more than 3 years ago, and is now in the 9th edition. We keep adding to it as more info and ideas come to our attention. This guide contains valuable strategies for challenging the non-existent authority of our corporate government, as does our Notice of Condition precedent webpage. Well, tonight we're going back to the vaccination issue. Last week we had a caller who called in wanting to know about a vaccination notice for school mandates. And I kind of said to the listeners that we hadn't talked about that in a while. So tonight I'd like to talk a little bit about that. In fact, I'd like to talk a lot more than a little about it, because most of you have been witnessing this outrageous story about how many people are dropping dead every minute of the influenza. Personally, I don't believe it for a second, but they're ramping up for something, everybody, because usually the system that they use, what they do is problem, reaction, solution. So now they're busy defining the problem as not enough people are vaccinated, and we've got this horrible flu, and it's killing people. So we're supposed to be reacting by going, oh, my gosh, you must do something, we must do something. And the powers that shouldn't be are probably planning on ramping up a larger platform for mandatory vaccines. That's what it sounds to me. I mean, the listeners can tell me what they think in the second hour, but I'm pretty sure that we're going to see more required vaccines, perhaps at the airport, perhaps on buses. It just looks like they want to put up some more rules requiring vaccines in different circumstances. So this past week, I was working on this guide that I started in 2016. It's called Overcoming Vaccine Mania. And then when a family member got sick, it got put on hold. And I have to thank the caller last week for kind of giving me a nudge, because this week I've been working on finishing it. And I think I was also inspired by these ridiculous stories on the media about all these people dropping dead. My husband, who did a stint in pathology, and I've had a hard time convincing him the media is 100% bogus. He always thinks that, well, some of it has to be true. But he's watching this story of the influenza epidemic roll out, and he is just rolling his eyes. He said, I can't believe they're saying these things. This just doesn't make any sense. When we looked for the figures, the death figures, they had lumped them together with pneumonia and influenza people. However, when the media reports the death figures, the media reports them as all being influenza. I don't know how many remember the 2009 H1N1 pandemic, and I believe it was the CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson, when they were reporting these figures of the number of people who were coming down with the H1N1 flu. She tried to nail the figures down and contacted the different states directly to see how many cases they had that were truly tested and verified as H1N1 flu. And she did report back publicly that there were hardly any. It cost her job, but she certainly did us all a favor, and she is still out there. She has her own blog. She's still doing good research, and she's still trying to report the actual truth. Cheryl Atkinson is truly a very real journalist, and there are too few of them left. But what was interesting to me while all that was going on, I was sitting here in Ohio focusing on the Ohio Department of Public Health, because on their website, they would put out information that they wanted all of the different public health agencies in the state to see. And it's not encrypted or anybody could go there. So I would go and look at their news flashes and see what they were telling these different agencies. And there's a lot of them. I think there's at least one for every county, maybe more. And I think we have 66 counties in Ohio. So I was watching this website, and when that pandemic came out, it was like April 2009 was the first announcement. Then they were rolling it out and telling us all these people were sick, and it came from Mexico. And there were a lot of skeptics who were doing research and were saying, no, this isn't true. No, that isn't true. And I watched the public health website, as I said, in Ohio, and in August, all of a sudden, they changed the definitions. All along, they had been defining this pandemic as H1N1, and people were supposed to report and have the government labs test the patients to see if they had it. Well, in August, they changed the reporting criteria. They didn't have to test them. All they were to do was to report any influenza-like illness. And I fell off my chair. I went, what? There weren't enough cases of H1N1 to justify the outrageous level of state of emergency that was going on across the country. So all they did in their infinite wisdom was change the definition to influenza-like illness. And the figures went up. But I do believe Cheryl Atkinson picked up on that, and I picked up on it, and I just said, I mean, this could be a runny nose, this could be an allergy, this could be anything. And they're going to count that in their figures for flu. So when I got done with that pandemic and all of the lies that were told and the information that was distributed that was completely false, they even set up clinics in the schools to inoculate children and start a database, incidentally, which they did on all the students to protect them from the H1N1 pandemic. So when this story came out, I'm afraid, you know, my mom used to say, once burned, twice learned. I'm not believing any of it. You know, I'd like to see the autopsy reports. You know, remember Sandy Hook, there was one guy who wanted to see the autopsy reports, and they wouldn't show them to him. Nobody could get a hold of those autopsy reports. Nobody could even prove those children died. There was no documents that even proved they died. So our media just really gives us garbage. I don't really know. You know, maybe in the second hour people can call in. I don't know anyone who has the flu. None of my friends or relatives have been sick. So, you know, from my chair, I don't see any sign of an epidemic. But getting back to the caller last week who wanted to know, and there are several states where there are no exemptions from mandatory school vaccines. California's one, West Virginia's one, and I think it might be Missouri might be the other one. I'd have to double check. So there are states where they've eliminated all of these exemptions, and these people are, you know, between a rock and a hard spot. They're either going to take their kids out of school, which would be my first choice, and homeschool them instead of leaving them in at school with the Wi-Fi and the continuous indoctrination, or they're going to, I don't know, maybe find a private school that didn't take any government money. That might be hard. So, or they're going to have to vaccinate their children, and that would be the worst choice of all. So I'm going to go through the vaccination notice and how it can be used for schools or daycare. This is not commonly used, and it probably will be trashed or discredited by any attorney, because the attorneys don't want to reveal the truth about our legal system. The attorneys don't want to admit that the government doesn't really own our children. Most attorneys believe the government is the supreme authority over our children, and we're just allowed to take care of them as long as we behave. That's what they're taught in law school. So the attorneys are probably not going to like this solution unless they're trying to protect their own children. Then I might get their attention. So let's talk about this. This is the vaccination notice for schools or daycare. And if you've been listening to the program, it's based on the same premise that we talk about all the time, which is our legal system is really the Uniform Commercial Code. Everything is done by contract and agreement. We signed our we put our signature on the registration for schools. Not all the terms or conditions were revealed when you did that. And the school comes along and insists on certain things based on the presumption that when you signed the registration to enter Joey into public school, you automatically understood and consented to every rule, regulation, or insane idea that the school was going to come up with while Joey was in their care. Parents don't understand that, but that is what is really going on, and that's how the system really works. So we're going to try to address this problem from a perspective of understanding that it's all corporate, commercial, legal structure. Everywhere across the board, the whole government is in commerce. And there are people running around telling you that we have constitutional rights. You have the constitutional rights to not sign the agreement. The rest of them are dwindling fast. Okay, so the vaccination notice for schools or daycares. This vaccination notice is designed to notify the school of the reasons you do not choose to have your son or daughter injected with potentially dangerous products that the manufacturer doesn't stand behind, and you refuse to accept the liability for any vaccine injury or illness that might occur from the vaccinations. This strategy is called Let's Make a Deal. The vaccination informs the school or daycare administrator that you will only consent if they agree to accept the liability in writing, which, of course, their lawyers will never let them do. The statements listed on the notice are factual and easy to validate. This approach should allow the school or daycare the instrument they need to exclude your child from the statutory vaccine mandates. Now, I didn't say exempt, I said exclude. Filling out the notice. It's not hard to do. We have instructions. I'm going to post them on the IDH program links page on my Anti-Corruption Society website, anticorruptionsociety.com, so people can download this, see it, and use it if they need it right away. The first section in the instructions said filling out the notice. We have items in the notice that are in parentheses, and they are to be personalized. You have to make choices. You have to pick the right word, select son or daughter, whichever is applicable. When you're referring to corporate entities, you need to put them in all caps. The health department of each state is listed in its corporate name in all caps on Dun & Bradstreet. That information is accessible for free online. At the bottom of the notice is a space for the parent's signature and the signature of two witnesses. Of course, the dates need to be identical. An acceptable alternative to two witnesses would be to sign in front of a statutory notary and have them stamp it for you. It's essential to read, understand, and agree with the notice before you sign and deliver it. This is not a form that you just fill out. This is a notice you're noticing them that you have knowledge of the following facts. So you better take the time to read them, understand them. If you can't figure one out, eliminate it. But because you really want to be able to defend this if you have to, and feel good about it, and understand that what you're doing is based not on what I am saying. It is based on the facts that we are presenting on the notice that you can validate each and every one yourself. So you feel good about it. That's the beauty of this notice, having it in your hot little hands and being able to work with it, to research it, to look things up, familiarize yourself with it. It makes your understanding much stronger. It makes your awareness better. And I think you're going to be a better advocate for your child because you understand more about how the system really works. Delivering the notice. When you get the notice prepared, the notice requires little discussion. Just hand it to the clerk responsible for the collection of student paperwork. Explain that it is a lawful notice to be placed in your child's record. Should you be asked where you obtained the notice, simply say from another parent, which is true. Giving more information is not required nor recommended. Citing websites or vaccine-aware groups or authors just serves to motivate those in the vaccination distribution business to track down and discredit the folks that are trying to do their best to bring good information to the public. The less said, the better. The less said, the better. Let the notice speak for you. Should the clerk refuse the notice, politely remind him or her that the decision is not his or hers to make, as the notice is for both the agent and the principal, and it says so right on it. You may have to remind the employee that neither the clerk nor his or her supervisors can make decision for the principal. And in this case, the principal would be the superintendent of schools. Keep a copy of the notice for yourself. Always, always, always remain polite. The minute you get at all belligerent or angry, you bet your bippy they're going to bring out a security guard. These people are trained that way. It's just amazing. They've got security now all over our schools. They've got police in my schools just wandering the halls. Should the school employee refuse to place the notice in the record, write on the vaccination notice, quote, refused by agent, their name, on, and the date. It's, you can put it on the, in the space in the top of the notice, just anywhere, as long as you've got it there. Then take it home and send it certified mail with return receipt to the superintendent, or if it's a daycare center, it would be to the head administrator. Include a short explanatory letter or even a note to the effect of the following. Quote, on such and such a date, I presented my vaccination notice to an agent in charge of school registration paperwork by the name of, and then you write the name in. She refused to accept and forward it to your office. Therefore, it is enclosed. Please process it accordingly. Okay? Then you go ahead and you send it to the superintendent. Now you're going to stand back and wait and see what happens. So now I'd like to read to you, although we're going to go to break almost any minute. when we come back, I'm going to read the notice to people, and perhaps you could get out a pen or pencil and write down where you think it's confusing and where you believe it needs more clarification, because I do think this is a really good tool that we're going to need to be using now and more so in the future. Stay tuned.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tonight, we're talking about the vaccination notice for schools. And I've been explaining to the listeners, and if you've been tuned in, you'll know what we're talking about, how we're going to use a vaccination notice to notify the school, particularly in the case where there is no exemption. I know a lot of parents would prefer to use the exemption. It's so much easier. But these waivers and these exemptions are increasingly coming from the public health department in your state, and they're increasingly require that you sign a form, and we're back to the signature daily, Bob, right? They give you the form, and then you sign that you accept and understand everything that's on it, including what's not on it, basically. So it would be best to find another way than their form, because most of their forms have gotten so, they put so much spin and confusion on these forms that they're trying to make their case stronger and make your lack of agreeing to vaccinate your child, make that appear almost as child abuse. I mean, they're using all kinds of ways to make parents appear to be inadequate when they refuse to vaccinate their children with these dangerous toxic vaccines. And they do so in their paperwork as well as in their policies. So let me read this, school vaccination. Let me find it here. I just had it a minute ago. For schools or daycare. Okay. At the top, it says vaccination notice for schools or daycare. Notice to agent is notice to principal. Notice to principal is notice to agent. Attention, superintendent of Bellingham School District. And obviously, if you're going to use it, you would put in the name of your school district. As the living flesh and blood mother of Sally Doe, born on 6/5/10, who lives with me at 2525 Maple Lane, Grove City, Ohio, I am permitted by law from endangering my son or daughter. Therefore, I declare the following. Number one, I am aware that those ordering and or administering vaccines have been granted immunity from liability should my son or daughter suffer from a vaccine-caused injury or illness. Since the Supreme Court decision, Brucewitz versus Wyeth, February 22, 2011, drug companies are under no legal obligation to ensure their vaccine products are either safe or effective. The same decision defined vaccines as unavoidably unsafe. Vaccine manufacturers pay nothing into the Vaccine Injury Compensation Trust Fund, so it is not an acceptable alternative for me. Number two, I am aware that vaccine schedules have been established by the Center for Disease Control and are promoted by public health departments, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and other organizations. I do not accept CDC recommendations as science-based. Reason listed below. Number three, I do not recognize the CDC as a government health advocacy organization. It is a corporation listed on Dun & Bradstreet and headquartered in the state of Georgia, with strong ties to the pharmaceutical industry. Therefore, their recommendations are influenced by the fiscal health of their corporation. Number four, I am aware that the Health Ohio Department of, and that's the name of the Department of Health in my state, a corporation headquartered in Columbus, Ohio, and listed on Dun & Bradstreet, receives monetary compensation from the CDC to promote vaccines. Therefore, the state public health department's recommendations and actions are influenced by the fiscal health of their corporation. Number five, I do not recognize the American Academy of Pediatrics nor the American Academy of Family Physicians as health advocacy organizations. They are both trade organizations and corporations listed on Dun & Bradstreet. Okay, stay tuned. We'll be back after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Okay, welcome back. Tonight we're talking about using a vaccine notice instead of an exemption, particularly when your state has removed all exemptions but medical ones, to get your child in school or daycare without having to vaccinate your child according to their schedule and their requirements, which have become increasingly more dangerous as the liability issue has been completely removed from Big Pharma. There is nothing any longer that would require that these vaccines be either safe or effective. And that's what's happened over, gosh, since the mid-80s. It's just gotten worse. Okay, so we're talking about on the vaccination notice number 5. That's where we left off. Number 5 says, I do not recognize the American Academy of Pediatrics nor the American Academy of Family Physicians as health advocacy organizations. They are both trade organizations and corporations listed on Dun & Bradstreet that are headquartered in the state of Illinois and the state of Kansas, respectively, whose monetary compensation from the vaccine manufacturers contributes to the fiscal health of their corporations. The reason we put those two entities, the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Academy of Family Physicians, is on all their paperwork, they include those two organizations as being supportive of the CDC recommendations. It's just a political maneuver, okay? I'm sure there's money that exchanges hands, and then the CDC is allowed to use the name of those two trade organizations to give the appearance of credibility for all of their vaccine recommendations. Number 6, I am aware that legislators for the corporation known as the State of Ohio, listed on Dun & Bradstreet, can only vote on rules, statutes for legal persons per their statutory code definitions, not for living men and women and their progeny. Therefore, their corporate statutory vaccination mandates do not apply to my son or daughter. We are not legal persons. Okay, we've talked about that a lot on the show in relationship to the notice of condition precedent, and that's on a tab at the top of my website, anticorruptionsociety.com. Click on that, and there's going to be a article explaining what the legal person means and how we get out from under that. But again, this is not a dispute. This is not controversial. We've posted all kinds of statutes from different states, from the Federal Register and from the UCC, whereby they define the term person. And in all these cases, none of the entities they use to define person with, none of them are alive. They're all legal constructs, corporations, businesses, trusts, partnerships. So we've talked about it many times. Just another reminder, these statutes are written for persons, not for living men and women, living boys and girls. It's just that we don't know that, so we sign as if that's what we are. And then they compel us to perform as if that's what we are. Okay, number 7. I'm aware of multiple scientific peer review papers that have exposed the dangers of many vaccines as well as the herd immunity myth. Number 8. I am aware that the corporation, Health and Human Services, United States Department of, listed on Dun & Bradstreet, and headquartered in Washington, D.C., profits from vaccine patents and determines claims paid from the Vaccine Injury Compensation Trust Fund. Okay? Now, that's obviously a conflict of interest. Number 9, I have concluded that failure to follow the CDC recommendations about vaccinations is less likely to endanger the health of or life of my son or daughter or other sons and daughters than following their recommendations. For the reasons I have listed and more, I do not agree to have my son or daughter vaccinated unless you or the governor of the state of Ohio sign a document stating that you or him, in your professional and personal capacity, not me and or my husband or wife, accept the responsibility and costs for any injury or illness as defined by the International Medical Council on Vaccinations. Your required vaccines might cause my son or daughter. Note, this document can be used to protect those that administer vaccines, which would be physicians, nurses, or others, or are obliged to adhere to corporate statutes from any punitive statutory actions or penalties. Then there's a place for the mother or father to write in their name, a place for them to sign it, to date it, and have two witnesses, all on one piece of paper. Now, I wanted to mention, because I hadn't had a chance to talk very much about that, why did we mention the governor? When mandatory statutes are passed regarding vaccines for school enrollment, they are voted on by the legislature in the form of a bill, and then the bill goes to the governor, and the ultimate signatory is the governor. And some of you who've been following this story might remember when California passed SB 277, removing the exemption for conscience, leaving nothing but the medical exemption that a doctor would have to fill out. A lot of people in that interim period wrote to the governor, really begging him not to sign it into law, basically, because they understood that was the next step. If the governor doesn't sign it, it doesn't become statutory law in the state. This is why we cited the governor as well as the superintendent of schools to be liable for the cost associated with any injury or illness that the vaccine might cause, and requested that either one put their willingness to accept that liability in writing and sign it. Of course, they will never do that. But this is what we call let's make a deal. I am completely bewildered by all of the organizations who've been in this fight trying to expose vaccines and get people to take a vaccine exemption, why they aren't hammering away as loud as they can at this liability factor. I mean, here you have a drug that there's no requirement that it be either safe or effective, that legislators are mandating people inject into their children before they can go to school. Now, does that make any sense to anybody? And these nonprofits run around and all they scream about is, oh, we need choice, oh, we need choice, oh, we need choice. When instead they should be saying, yeah, we'll do it if you take the liability. We don't want the liability. I don't have the money to pay for care for an autistic child for the rest of his life. They're ignoring the elephant in the room, which always makes me ponder whether or not a lot of these nonprofits have been infiltrated, co-opted, and are kept going down this path that will never succeed, that has not succeeded, has not rolled this thing back since the mid-80s, and they've been doing the same thing for 30-odd years and getting the same results. You would think they would start to wake up and say, wow, things are getting worse. Maybe what we're doing isn't going to work. Well, hello. I certainly understand the people involved are well-intentioned, I guess. But if they don't break out of the box and understand what's going on, this is just going to roll across the country until there won't be exemptions for any school child in any state. Now, I think the vaccination notice has a chance of getting people's attention. This is why I promote it. This is why I encourage its use. I encourage people to read it, to try to understand it. I listened to Dr. Alvin Moss direct the Senate committee, and I played some excerpts on an earlier program of his talk before the legislative committee in West Virginia. And he was trying to get support for a bill that would restore either a religious or a personal belief exemption in that state. And his arguments were excellent. He was eloquent. He was well informed. But, you know, the lobbyists were there. The lawyer who was also on the committee, and that's one of the problems. The lawyer said, why should I believe you when all these other people are saying something different? So the lawyer, who is not in a position to understand what Dr. Moss is even talking about, is just making a determination that Dr. Moss must be wrong because everybody else is saying something different. The lawyer doesn't know any of the facts. He's a lawyer. And unfortunately, if he is listening to public health people, he's accepting their word and not able to look at the facts and make an intelligent decision on his own. So this form, this notice, it will, of course, end up in the hands of a lawyer. You know it will. It's a legal notice. And they wouldn't even consider allowing a child in school that didn't meet the vaccine mandates without some special circumstances. In many states, there are penalties if they do. So when this document gets turned in, it will end up in the hand of a lawyer, because the lawyer is there to protect the school system, the state, from legal ramifications of their actions. And I'm not sure what the lawyer will do, other than the fact that the lawyer will learn something on this document that he didn't know before. The people who are instructing him on the entire issue regarding vaccines are, of course, the vaccine promoters. He is not hearing from the other crowd, the other side of the room. He's not hearing from the independent scientists that have done the research, many on their own dime, who are saying that the corporate science on this is all bad, all wrong, all corrupt. He is not aware of that. This is the problem with this compartmentalization. I'm sure the RBN listeners have seen it. We've all seen it. You know, the lawyers don't know anything about medicine, so they pick their favorite doctors and listen to everything they say. And they take their statins and, you know, they eat a low-fat diet and all of that. And then you go across the aisle and you've got the doctors who don't know anything about the law, don't want to know anything about the law. They pick their favorite lawyer and want to turn the whole mess over to him. So it's been designed that way, people. I'm sure you're all aware of it. It has been designed so that the society is so compartmentalized that we all tend to want to rely on an expert so we don't have to do the hard work and the hard research to learn what's really going on. And in my opinion, that's how this thing has gotten so far off track for so many years, ending up in so many really good people doing the wrong thing and not knowing it. It is sort of a tragedy when you look at it. It's a big tragedy when you look at it. So this is what a vaccination notice is. I'm going to post this later this week. We're going to finish up on the guide, the Vaccine Mania guide, and post that and talk maybe a little bit about it next week. I don't know how far it's going to go. I am out there alone, basically. Not alone in the sense that I'm the only one with this knowledge. That is not true. But the people who are in the vaccine awareness movement, okay, and have been for these 30-odd years, and this would include the people in Vaxxed, the movie, those people. This would include the major nonprofits. This would include some of the alternative media. They have been looking at the medical part and the scientific part. They have not been looking at the legal part. They haven't been looking at how is it that the state can require vaccines for a child to attend school. How is it the state can do that when the pharmaceutical product is not warranted as either safe or effective? They don't seem to understand that, how that's happening. And honestly, to be honest with you, I don't think they want to understand how that's happening. I think they want to continue to believe that the lawyers, and there are a few who are trying to help, that these lawyers will come up with an answer. They don't want to look at the fact that the system in place that's allowing this to happen was built entirely by lawyers. Entirely. And this is how you have an agency like the CDC, the FDA, the EPA, the USDA. This is how all of these agencies are doing things that harm the public, and there's no accountability. There's no one going to jail. There's no prosecutions. All of this system was constructed by an army of lawyers, and it is well protected within the system. So people, until we understand that is the bar that created it and the bar that keeps it in place, the bar that lies about it and the bar that protects it, we're not going to make much progress. This is why a lot of attention on this network I spend exposing the legal system. Okay, we'll take callers when we come back. Stay tuned.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Defense of Humanity. Tonight we're back talking about vaccines and the vaccination notice. And we'll be happy to take calls. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. This week when I was working on this booklet that will be released this week and has all the notices in it, incidentally, the vaccination notices that we've included, there are three different notices for three different scenarios. One is the notice for physicians and hospitals. That would be a notice for healthcare providers. The second one is a notice for daycares and schools. And the third one is the vaccination notice for employees and college students. So all three are probably going to be helpful. If you really understand the process, you could probably take one and modify it yourself to meet what you need to address the situation that you're in, whether it's your employer or the school you want to attend. And it's not just some people think that only if you're going to a collegiate program for healthcare are you going to be required to take a vaccine. Not true. I had a friend who had a teenager going to Miami University here in Ohio, and she had to take vaccines before they would admit her to Miami University. So a lot of these universities are requiring some kind of vaccine before they'll admit you. And none of the vaccines are safe or effective, okay? But when I was doing my research this past week and I was exposing some of what the CDC is all about, I knew that there was collusion. Just type in your research, the CDC Foundation, and you think, well, what would be the CDC Foundation? Well, people, it's a source of money. It's a source of money that's not being allocated by Congress, okay? And lo and behold, and this was exposed. I'm looking at the date. Back in May 2015, an article appeared in the British Medical Journal, which is considered a prestigious medical journal. And the name of the article was Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Protecting the Private Good. And the subline says, after revelations that the CDC is receiving some funding from industry, Jeannie Lenzer, associate editor for the BMJ, investigates how it might have affected the organization's decisions. And lo and behold, she dug around and there it was. I'm going to read you just one section from this article. And I can post it. Anybody can look it up online. It's pretty easy to find. Two paragraphs. Marcia Angel, and I've mentioned her on this show before, the former editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine, told the British Medical Journal, quote, the CDC has enormous credibility among physicians, in no small part because the agency is generally thought to be free of industry bias. Financial dealings with biopharmaceutical companies threaten that reputation, unquote. Then the author of this BMJ article goes on to say, industry funding of the CDC has taken many doctors, even some who worked for CDC, by surprise. Phyllis Ledener, an infectious disease fellow at Massachusetts General Hospital and Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts, and a former CDC Epidemic Intelligence Service officer, told the BMJ he was saddened to learn of industry funding. Stay tuned. Right back.
Your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are
are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic